Welcome to Go Church Manchester Weekly Sermon Podcast with Pastor Claire.
Dave's gone to glory and he hasn't taken his penny with him, has he? But what he's done is he's taken his character, he's taken his spirit, he's taken everything that he is, and he is glorifying God. That's what matters, what's in your heart and how you're living your life. The best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. The best time to love is now. See, time speaks of sacrifice, doesn't it? Giving time to one another, caring for one another, making space for one another. The Bible stresses this repeatedly. Galatians 6:10, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Ephesians 5:16, use every chance you have for doing good. And then Proverbs 3:27, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. This is the word. This is what the word says. Loving one another is so important. See, where do we belong? We belong to one another. We are part of God's family here. So just turn to the person you're sitting next to and say, I belong to you. Turn to the person behind. I belong to you. See, if you look in Ephesians, and Ephesians is full of all of this, okay? But if you put some of the scriptures together, and I think I've put this up on the slide, the next slide, these are all the things we're put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and we're going to be caught up together. Yes. So God's intention is that we are what? Together. That we are family. This is where we show our love, here. Romans 12, 4-5 in the Message, each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So I just want you to think about your body. You know, how much do you rely on your thumb? You know, to pick up this glass, I need to use my thumb to pick it up, don't I? If I just use my fingers, we could have a bit of a mess here. Maybe I could do it like that, I don't know. But I need my thumb. But the rest of my body is relying on my thumb to work, because the thumb with the fingers lifts this, lifts it here. To my mouth, so my mouth can drink, so the water can go down into my body, so that it can hydrate me, so that my muscles work and that I can function. So without my thumb, I've got to really work out what to do. And no clever clogs say use your other thumb. But do you see how we rely on us? So if you cut yourself off from the body, there's no lifeblood, there's no flow. If you say, I'm not coming to church, I don't want to be part of what's going on, you're actually cutting yourself away and you're stopping the flow and you're not understanding, I need you. I need you. I need you to function. As a whole body, we need one another. And it's interesting that one of the first symptoms of spiritual decline is people stay away from church. Life is too difficult. I can't handle it. And they stay away. Instead of actually coming to the place where they're going to be encouraged, the place where they're going to be built up, the place where they're going to be loved. We mustn't be careless about fellowship. See, the church is God's agenda for the world. He said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The church is indestructible. The church is indestructible. And it will exist for eternity. He said, I will build my church. So if you say you don't need church, then actually you're either arrogant or ignorant, because the word says we should come together. Just think about how the church is the bride of Christ. You wouldn't go up to the groom, would you, and go, hey, I love you, but I don't like your bride. Would we say that to Jesus? I love you, Jesus, but I don't like church. Doesn't quite fit, does it? We need to be careful not to dismiss, put down, or complain about the church. 1 Peter 2:17 says, love your spiritual family. Or in another version, it says, love the family of believers. We are all members of God's household. You know, life is a commitment. Life is a commitment. So why do you need the church family? Well, first of all, it proves that you're a genuine believer. It identifies you as a genuine believer. John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So if you are not mixing with other believers, then you are not giving the world opportunity to see that the way we love. It moves us out of being self-centered and self-centered isolation. Again, it's about that one part of the body. I need you. A church family helps you develop spiritual muscle. Each part, Ephesians 4:16, each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow. So I want you to turn to someone and say, you help me grow. It's important that we recognize that. Then the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Do you know it mentions the phrase one another or each other over 50 times in the New Testament? We're commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear each other's burdens, forgive each other, submit to each other, be devoted to each other, as well as many other things. We got that together, each other. See, we're all important that we're all together. And this is what biblical membership is, or partnership as we say. And these are your family responsibilities: to love, to encourage, to admonish, to greet, to teach, to serve, to honor, to bear, to forgive. These are all our responsibilities. The body needs you. Did you know that Jesus has not promised to build your ministry? He's promised to build the church. It's really dangerous if we put our ministry above the church, because the promise is to build the church. You might have the most amazing ministry, but he says, yeah, bring it into the church. Don't be separate. Bring it into the church, because that's where I've designed you to be. We all get to share in Christ's mission in the world. If you think about when Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out in twos, in pairs, or more. He didn't say, go out alone. He says, go together. See, we go into the world together. And you know, a church family will keep you from backsliding. See, God knows, given the right situation, that all of us are capable of sin. We all have different weaknesses, don't we? Yeah. I know how the enemy attacks me. Everybody knows that I've been set free from fear. But the amount of times the enemy tries to get me with fear, because he knows that's where my natural inclination is, and not my set free spiritual inclination is. And that's why I need everybody. I need everybody, just like you need everybody here. We need to encourage one another daily. Hebrews 13:3. So who have you encouraged today? I'm going to challenge you. Every day, find somebody to encourage, to build up. Because when you encourage someone, it stops sin having a foothold. And James 5:19 says, if you know people who've wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. This is the Message version. Go after them. Come on, what do you think you're doing? But say it in love. And encourage them to come and be part of what is happening. You know, God wants you to love real people, not ideal people. You know, you could spend your life looking for the perfect church, but you're not going to find it. No church is perfect, unfortunately. It would be great if there was. We'd all be there. And, you know, this is why Tuesday night at the moment we've suspended life groups and we're encouraging you all to come. Everybody in this room and everybody who's not in this room, who is part of this church, we're encouraging you to be here Tuesday night, 7:30. Peter will give you more details later. But helping us shape the church of 2020 and beyond, we want to hear from you. What makes you tick? Why? What makes you go to a group? What do you want to see? What do you think of this? We live in an age where everything is changing, where there's so much stuff on the internet now and so much social media, yet the Bible clearly says we should come together and meet together. So how do we balance the two? So I really encourage you to be part of Tuesday nights. Because what God wants is he wants us to cultivate community, and community requires commitment. James 3:18 in the Message says, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. So we began looking at this actually on Tuesday night. This was our starting point, talking about honesty. So we're going to look at five things to do with cultivating community. So the first thing is it takes honesty. Honesty with honor. We need to honor one another. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Well, I want to be a true friend. Do you want to be a true friend? Does anyone want to be a true friend?
Yes.
Then we need to be honest with one another. Not pretend that things are okay. You know this British thing when you walk through the door and you say, how are you? I'm very well, thank you. So you can learn a little bit about our British culture. So I've stopped asking people, how are you? Lots of you will know I go, are you happy? When I spot that something's not quite right, are you happy? Because people are more likely to give you a truer answer to a phrase like that. So don't nick my phrase. Find your own. But you know, we need to be real with one another. We need to be honest with one another. And there is a right way to lovingly confront someone. Galatians 6:1-2. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently, everybody say gently, help make him right again. Do you know, if we don't confront people lovingly, even though we know that, why don't we do that? You know, why don't we go and say, hey, you shouldn't do that? We don't want to upset the boat, or we don't want to use whatever phrase, or upset the apple cart, or we don't want to annoy somebody. But do you know what you're actually doing? You're letting fear rule. And I tell you what, I do not want fear to rule in this church. It's not ruling in my life, it's not ruling in this church. And so even though everything within me is like, oh no, I've got to speak to that person, it's like, I'm going to do it. Because actually, as a leader, I'm commanded to do it. And I'm going to be held account if I don't do it. So it's easier for you guys, because you're not going to be held account. It takes humility, cultivating community. 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. So how are you dressed today? Have you got your humble clothes on today? Romans 12:16, live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Always have that teachable heart. You know, humility is thinking of yourself less and thinking more of others. Think of yourself less and think more of others. And that takes courtesy. And part of that is understanding, and we were talking about this on Tuesday night a little bit. In this room, we have so many different cultures. And we need to learn how to respect one another and respect one another's cultures while creating kingdom culture. Okay? It's really important we understand that, because there is a culture in the Word of God, but we still need to honor and respect the way different people do things. And we were talking how, for a British person, it's, you know, I look you straight in the eye, you know, and ask you something, and I expect you to look me straight in the eye and reply. And if you're looking all around, to me, that's rude from a British culture. But I know in lots of the African cultures or other cultures, it's impolite to look in the eye, especially to somebody who's older. There is a deference, isn't there? So we need to understand that there are differences. And so somebody's not being offensive, it's just that's the way they've grown up and that's what they know. So if I look you in the eye and you're older than me, sorry. So it takes confidentiality.
It must be a compliment
that
they look younger.
Oh, yeah, Peter says it must be a compliment. What? It must be a compliment if they look younger. Oh, that they look younger if I look them in the eye. Okay, great. So it takes confidentiality. We need to create safe harbor, that this place is safe harbor in here. So what do you do? A boat docks in a harbor. It comes out of the... It comes out of the main sea into the harbour, out of where the storms can hit it, the waves can hit it. It comes into a calm place where it can rest and not be buffeted. And that's what our grow group should be like, that we're going to relaunch in 2020. That's what this church should be like. It should be a safe place. And that means no gossip. Now, I hope that nobody in this room gossips. But I'm going to talk about gossip for a minute, because we're very good as Christians at disguising gossip as a prayer request. But you know, if you're in your life group or your grow group, as they'll be, and that should be a safe place where somebody comes in and they say, I've got difficulty with this, or I'd really like you to stand with me in prayer. Now, there's a difference between telling Pastor Alan and Claire, going a bit higher for a need to know basis, but it's a bit different if you pick up the phone and go to somebody who wasn't there, hey, I need to tell you something so you can pray about it. And then you tell them what's going on and you're disguising it spiritually. We mustn't do that. Gossip is not good. And actually, we need to be people who say stop. We need to be the one that puts out the fire. There's a scripture in Proverbs, it's a bit later on, I'm just jumping a little bit in my notes, but that says about putting out the fire. So when somebody comes and they tells you something, if somebody comes and tells me something, I don't hear it as a fact necessarily. I will go, Okay, so how do you know that about that person? And if they say to me, well, Ethel told me, then I'll say, stop. Okay? So I'd rather Ethel came and spoke to me than you. Because now we're going hearsay. Is that a fact? Do you know it? Did you see that happen? There are questions that we can ask. And if they can't answer it, how do you know that? I don't know. I think I heard it at this stop. You know of that person. You know they love the Lord. They're part of this body here. So we're going to protect them, because what does love do? Love protects. So we need to learn to stop gossip in its tracks. It takes frequency of cultivating community. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another. The disciples actually met daily. If we want to cultivate real friendship, real fellowship, it means meeting together whether we feel like it or whether we don't. Sometimes, you know, I don't have a choice on a Sunday morning. Whether I feel like it or whether I don't, I'm here on a Sunday morning. My role dictates that I should be here. But you know, even if that, I wouldn't think that way, because to me, it's amazing to come and worship and be part of you. You know, when I had my operations, it was like I couldn't wait to come back and be part of worshiping together with the body, the family. And it requires an investment of time. We need to give time. Time to the group, the small groups that we're in, but time to Sunday. We need to learn how to protect the church. It's your and my responsibility to protect the unity of the church. In his final moments before he was arrested, Jesus prayed, and a lot of the prayer that he prayed passionately about was about unity. So it was uppermost in his mind. It was significant to him. It was important to him. Nothing on earth is more valuable than his church. He paid the highest price for it. So shouldn't church be valuable to us? So it's our responsibility to protect the unity. So how do we do that? Well, we focus on what is common. You know, you come to church, often you think, well, what have I got in common with this person? They're a different culture. They do things different. They eat different food. They do a completely different job to me. I'm 50, they're 20. What on earth have I got in common with them? Well, as believers, we share one Lord, one body, one purpose, one Father, one Spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one love. We share the same salvation, the same life, the same future, the same inheritance. We actually have so much in common that we can encourage one another. We can build one another up. Groucho Marx said, and if you haven't heard of him, there was three of them, and they were comedians way back in the day. He said this: I sent the club a wire stating, please accept my resignation. I don't want to belong to any club that will accept me as a member. See, if a church must be perfect to satisfy you, that same perfection will exclude you from membership. Because you're not perfect. And that's what Groucho Marx was saying. I'm never going to find the perfect club. Never going to find the perfect church. And when issues arise, we mustn't run away. We need to confront them. We need to encourage rather than criticize. See, Romans 14:4, what right do you have to criticize someone else's servants? Only their Lord can decide if they are doing right. We need to be really careful not to judge one another. We need to use all our energy to get along with one another, to not judge. Because the minute I judge, I'm out of fellowship with you. I'm out of fellowship with God because he's part of the body. I expose my own pride and insecurity. And I'm harming the body. I'm harming the fellowship, the church. Again, I've talked about gossip. Refuse to listen to gossip. But you know, God has a method for conflict resolution, and you can read that in Matthew 18, 15 to 17. And it's a three-step process. So if you see somebody doing wrong, you go to them yourself. That's the first step. You go to your fellow believer and you say, hey, I don't think you should be doing that, or whatever it is, okay? If they don't listen to you, you then take a witness, it says. You take a witness with you. So that is somebody else who is a believer in the church. The third step is, if they still won't listen, tell the church. So what you shouldn't do, the very first step, is go straight to the leader. Because suddenly, what is a small issue is escalated into a massive thing. The first thing is to go lovingly to the believer and go, hey, I noticed that you're not always on time, or whatever it is, or I'm sure you can think of different things. But you go to them first, then you take a witness, and then if they don't listen, you come to the church. You know, it's really important as well with protecting your church that you support the pastors and leaders. See, there are no perfect leaders. If you think I'm perfect and Alan's perfect, well, should be in our house on a Saturday afternoon. No, sorry. We're not perfect, you know. We get stressed about things, or, you know, we do things that are silly. We're not perfect. But God has given us responsibility to an authority to maintain the unity of the church. And actually, that almost is an impossible task, to please everybody, to make everyone happy. Even Jesus couldn't do that with 12 disciples. He couldn't keep everyone happy. So there is a support for the leaders, whether it's us as the pastors, whether it is your team leader, whether it is your grow group leader, whoever it is, that we support them, love them. But, you know, I always say, if there's something you don't understand, come and speak to us. And if there's something you don't like, pray for us. Pray that we hear God and we change, maybe. But pray for us, because that's what the word says. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those who are in authority, and honor your leaders. And I know I've packed a lot into this morning, because the fact that you're here this morning tells me that you love church, that you want to be here, that you know this is a place to belong. And if you're somebody who's just turned up because you thought, I'll come to church today, I want to encourage you, come every Sunday. Come into the place where you can be encouraged and built up and loved and supported. And so we've looked at four things about living a life of love, about belonging together, that life is a commitment, and the life of love protects. And if you take that and you just put it into a sentence, it says, live a life of love that protects because we belong together and are committed to each other. See, I belong to you, and you belong to me. And I show you that by the way I love you, and you show me by the way you love me. We show the world by the way we love one another and care for one another. Church is indestructible. God loves his church. And we're going to take communion now. And when we take communion, part of taking communion is actually recognizing the body. the body of believers that God has put us in. And that's why taking communion, or one of the reasons, is so powerful. So I'm going to ask Peter to come up with us.